to John chapter 17. There is peace at the cross. You know, we'll never experience true peace until one of these days we're in heaven. We all desire it here on earth. We can have the peace that passes understanding as Christ knows it, and which is perfect, and we can be perfect in Him. When I think about this prayer He prayed before He went to the trial and went to the cross, there's real power in this prayer. And it's prayed by the high priestly, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you'll follow along with me, beginning with verse 1, which says, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up His eyes to heaven, He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You, even as You gave Him authority over all flesh, that to all whom You have given Him, He may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I glorify You on earth, having accomplished the work which You have given Me to do. Now, He said this here in chapter 17. When He was on the cross, what did He say? It is finished. My work has been completed. And He's saying this ahead of time. I glorify You on earth, and having finished the work which You have given Me to do. Wouldn't it be great if each one of us could say that before we pass on from this world into heaven? Lord, I have completed everything that You have placed upon me, entrusted in me to accomplish. Now in verse 5, Now, Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory which I had with You before the world was. And of course, we haven't always been the world, but God has always been from the very beginning, no end, with the Heavenly Father. Now, chapter 18 is the trial and the torture of Jesus leading up to Calvary's cross. But the victory, as I read this chapter, chapter 17, the victory wasn't to be completely won on Golgotha. I believe it was won when Jesus prayed this prayer here in verse 17. Powerful, powerful prayer. And as you look around in this world today, everyone is searching for peace. Peace in the heart. And many of you may have come in today with a lot on your plate. And you say, I need peace right here in my heart. Well, you know, Jesus was facing his trial, his torture. When we get into chapter 18 and 19, where all of this took place, but Jesus had the peace that passes all understanding because He knew He was pleasing the Father, and He Himself is perfect. So we want this peace ourselves, for our families, for our church, for our nation, and even for the world. And we want it throughout our lives, at every age, and even our tombstone, you know, may you rest in peace, you know, rest in peace. I was thinking about this. A man owned a business with many locations, and he was opening a new location, and the people were sending notes and flowers and gifts to him. and to congratulating him on his new expansion. And one day he arrived at work, and there was a big, beautiful reef waiting for him, which said, "Rest in peace." Well, needless to say, he knew the florist, according to him, had made a mistake. So he called and complained about it, and he explained that the florist could tell he was a little upset or disturbed. So the florist said to him, to the businessman, "Sir, relax and look on the bright side. Somewhere today a man is being buried under the reef that says, 'Good luck in your new location.'" So he did have something to look forward to, didn't he? Oh, and we're all like that sometimes, aren't we? Misunderstandings or something like that. And you have many obligations between your work, your family, errands, taxes, and your church. We all have many obligations. And we live in a pressure cooker today, and we're all about to boil over. I never miss an opportunity to strike up a conversation with anybody I see on the outside, or when I'm in a store, or anywhere. I was sitting patiently in line, listening to the conversation back and forth to the clerk to pay, and I heard the lady say to this clerk, the gentleman, "Well, what are you doing working here?" He said, "Well, I don't work at Walmart anymore." And she said, "Well, that's probably a good thing." And he said, "Well, it is for me." Because I could see the frustration in his voice and so forth. So when I get up there and I say, "So you used to work at Walmart?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "When I hired on with them, he told him I could not work weekends because I was working this other job." And he said, "They kept posting me to work on the weekends. Of course, I couldn't show up because that was at my other job. So he said, I got 9 points and they let me go. But now they call me and want me to come back." I said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I'm not going back. I'm working here and I'm working my other job." So, but he's okay with it. But you see the frustration we get into in our life. And you find out what's going on in people's life. I said, "You'll be fine. You'll be fine." I just said, keep that positive attitude. Keep your positive attitude. "Oh, yeah." And he said, "You have a great, great evening." And I said, "You likewise." So we never know when we come in contact with people who are under pressure, under stress, frustrations in their life, and all they need is a little encouragement, right? They need that. You and I need that. We're looking for that peace. And how was Jesus under pressure when he is timeless? You think about that. When he is timeless. Well, he stepped out of eternity and time, and these are the last hours he's facing right here in 17 that he will be able to spend with his disciples before he goes to the cross. And they are still asking questions that they should already know the answers to. For 3 years, you think about it. For 3 years, he'd been trying to prepare them for this week. And Philip is still saying, "Show us the Father and we will have all that we need." That's what Philip kept saying. And Jesus said, "How long have I been with you, Philip, and you still don't know me?" Do you hear the frustrations of Jesus? Probably thinking, "Disciples, are you not listening? Are you not hearing what I'm saying?" So we face that in our life, and we're looking for that peace. And get, you know, it's good that we come to church on Sunday morning and we can sit and we can worship in spirit and in truth. And we can find that peace that passes all understanding. I don't know about you, but I always look forward to Sunday. You know, for me, when I'm standing here proclaiming the Word of God, time just flies. For you sitting out there, you know, it might seem long, sermon's long, you know, or so, but not to me. But when I enjoy reading and studying God's Word and proclaiming the Word to you, it's so precious. See, Jesus warned his disciples of the leaven of Pharisee, the hypocrisy that they were experiencing, and they huddled up and said, he's upset because we forgot the bread. See, their mind was somewhere else. That was small compared to what Jesus was wanting them to grasp about his going to the cross. See, Jesus is human, and he knows that he's about to leave the hope of the world in the hands of the 12. And one of them is the devil. And you've got to wonder who is trying the shoes of the other 11. Who's tying their shoes? Jesus was thinking. Who's tying your shoes? Why are you listening? Well, let's look at three things that I think that how Jesus handled stress and pressure. He ran to God first. When we're under pressure, when things are kind of tough, who do we go to first? Well, a few years ago, us pastors in a particular a conference, and they was asking this question certain like this. When you're under stress or under pressure, who do you go to first? And half of the answers to those pastors were, it was somewhere else besides God. Can you imagine that? The first person I go to is the Lord, because he has all answers. And he can give me the insights. Now, I need encouragement, support, and so forth. Who's the next person I go to? Brenda. And my deacons, and so forth like that, up the line there. But the first person that Jesus always went to when he needed that comfort and that peace and understanding and the wisdom, of course, he has it all, but he always went to the Father. He went to him first. That's why he spent so much time in the garden praying, seeking the Father's will. In verse 1, for an entire chapter, he poured out his heart to God. All 26 verses, he poured his heart out to God. And he is God. I don't want to shortchange it because he is God. But he always went to the Heavenly Father. And this should be our first instinct, not our last resort. So if you're here today and something is troubling you and it's in your heart, take it to the Lord, just like Jesus did. He was God. He still went to the Heavenly Father. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, everything within your being. Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he what? He cares for you. He careth for you, KJV. God is concerned about you personally. He's an individual person. He's a personal God. And see, we know he's concerned about the Middle East. We know that his heart must be heavy about what is happening in this now crumbling society, once a Christian nation. But don't forget that he's concerned about you so much so that the very hairs of your head are numbered. And I don't have many to count, do I? But, you know, some of you are easier to keep track of, like me, right? But our God even cares about the little ones. The little ones that that we have in our families, at the schools, and Good News Club, and so forth. And we get some of the most awesome notes, prayer concerns, from the Good News Club. We sure do. I wish I had time to read all those lists that we have that we get and we pray over each week. But they're awesome. They're awesome. And see, we live in a vast universe of billions of galaxies, each with billions of stars. So, if he can so easily manage all of the star systems, complete with their own planets, you know, gravitational force, orbits, and all of the things that happen in this universe, we know that he cares for us right here, and his attention is focused on you and me. It was on the disciples. That's why he cared and loved them so much. The only planet he has personally visited is right here, the Earth. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 6, and 7, I read verse 7, but verse 6 says, "Humble yourself, therefore." See, we got to be humbled. The heart has to be in the right spirit, right place. "Humble yourself, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt thee in due time." So he'll lift you up in due time when you need it the worst. And you may need it now. You might need it this very moment. And so when we take our need, our concern to him, see, verse 7 says, "Casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you." See, this is a tough one for us guys, because we know we have everything under control. Right, gentlemen? We have everything under control, right? The wives say, "I think that was our exit there, honey. I think you missed it." I think I've heard that a lot of times, right? And I know Brenda said that to me. And we say, "I know, I'm going a different way. I've taken the scenic route." Gentlemen, you ever say that? Try to get out of it? So we know we're lost. Our wives know that we're lost. God knows that we're lost. And even the lady on the voice of the GPS knows we're lost. And that's why she said, "You need to make a U-turn." And what do? We keep going. And mankind needs to realize he is lost, and God needs to enter in their life. See, they need God. If even Jesus needed to run to God in his time of need, what makes us think we don't need to do the same thing? We need to do that. See, the peace of the cross was not won on Mount Calvary alone. The victory was begun to be won in this prayer, as I stated a while ago. And another following where he prayed, "Not my will, thine will be done," when he was facing death. And so we need to bring our burdens to the altar, give them to him, and get up and leave them there. When we look at Psalms 55, which is the scripture for the week, which says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." You know why? Because you belong to him. He'll be right there for you. See, claim peace, the peace of the cross. And how did Jesus handle stress and pressure? He ran to God first. He found peace before the cross. And that's why we, the communion, the observance of Lord's Supper is so special, because we remember what Christ did for us. He gave us that peace that passes all understanding. And one of the calmest places on earth is the center of a hurricane. You ever notice that? The calmest place on earth is in the center of a hurricane, in the midst of the storm. And we can find that same peace, see? also. Well, he understood his purpose. In this prayer of Jesus, we see him reckoning with the purpose for his life. And going back to verse 1, be part of that. In verse 4, KJV says, finished. New American Standard says, it's been accomplished. Jesus says, I have finished the work that you have sent me here to do. And he was giving God the Father the glory, the recognition of him coming to this earth, spending 3.5 years preparing the disciples in the world that who he was, telling them who he was. And yes, the victory is won as he submits his life to God's purpose. Then he steps over the little brook of Kidron and into the Garden of Gethsemane and submits his will to the Father's will. And when you have a purpose for your life, it makes the burden of life bearable. Without him, life is unbearable. It really is. Having a purpose gives us stability even in the uncertain lines of life. But when you are living for something bigger than yourself, the problems will seem smaller. They won't just seem worthy of worry. In Romans 8:18, it says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see what Paul is saying here? Paul possibly had more problems than anyone in the Bible. I mean, you can read about them. I mean, all the things that he encountered in life. But when he laid all of that aside for his purpose in life, it wasn't worthy of the worry. So I put all that stuff, everything I've done, or any of my worries, or any of my anxieties, he said, I put it behind me. I press on to the mark of the high calling of God in my life. See, so think about your purpose this morning. Think about God's will for your life. What is your worries this morning? You ever think, did any of you bring them with you this morning? If you did, that's okay. But leave them here at the altar this morning. Go to God first, and he'll help eliminate those in your life. He'll give you that peace that you need. What makes a shepherd boy want to fight a giant? When I read the life of David and when he faced the giants of his life in Goliath, David said, is there not a cause? And what he was saying, is there not a purpose? And you say, my purpose is to eliminate those big giants in the world. And he did. Not him, but God through him, the power of God. And he gave up his rights. Jesus gave up a remarkable example in prayer. He gives us a great example of prayer to pray. He asked the Father to glorify him because he was completing the work God had given him to do. And also in John chapter 4, verse 34, talks about God, Jesus giving God the credit for the prayer and the power he revealed through him. See, he prayed confidentially. As the obedient son, he was ultimately. In the scripture, Jesus says, I don't do anything except what the Father tells me to do. If you and I did that, we wouldn't make many mistakes, would we? We wouldn't make any if we prayed that prayer. I don't do anything except what the Father tells me. See, he prayed confidentially. Do our prayers lack confidence because we are not committed to do what God wants? So how do we bring glory to God by completing the work he has given us? In Micah, it tells us that we are to show mercy, justice and humility before God. And in Matthew 28, it tells us that we are to pass on the gospel to make disciples to the ends of the earth. And in James 1:27, it tells us, care for those who are needy around us. And Hebrews 13:16 tells us to do the good and share with others. This is what Jesus did. As we practice obedience in these areas, God will strengthen us completely. And then in closing, Jesus yielded his rights. He gave up his divine privileges to please the Father. If you and I would do that today, give up our rights to him, because, you know, he actually lives and reigns within our heart. What a difference that would make. What a difference the world would see in our lives. You know, we've had our entire life of reading and study God's Word. The disciples only had like 3 years to spend with Jesus as his disciples, and eventually became apostles. And they couldn't get it all right then because they kept asking questions. See, we can always go back to God's Word. And God's Word is our path. It's our standards. It's everything that we need to learn more about Christ and learn about our life and how to live our life and have that peace and that joy, not the happiness of the world, but the joy of Christ in our life. And when we yield up ourselves and give it submissively and surrender, then we'll find that peace that Jesus is praying right here in this prayer in John chapter 17. We can all have it. God wants us to have it. All we got to do is go to him and ask for it. Our Father God, we just praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for this time together. And now as we enter into this time of the observance of the Lord's Supper, Lord, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity that you have given us to come to the table and to remember the sacrifice that you paid. The wages of sin is high, but you paid the sin debt for all of us. And we thank you for that. Is there anyone here that doesn't know you personally? And examining your prayer this morning, realizing, Lord, you are God, but you went to the Father to make things right, to be sure that everything that you did was according to the Father's will. And may we, as we come to the table today, we too pray your will be done with our life. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally as their Lord and Savior, they can today. Lord, if there's anyone here today looking for a church home, we pray, Lord, that you will lead them to here, to the Versailles Sales Baptist Church. This is a great fellowship. Lord, you're always calling people into ministry some way. Lord, if there's anyone here today as searching for your will in their life, your purpose, your will, may they step forward today to seek even further what your will would be done, how they can serve, how they can carry out your purpose and will in their life. Lord, this invitation, Lord, is yours. And all we got to do is respond to it and heed your Holy Spirit. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 286.